people up there that,
okay.
you know, kind of altered.
I'd like to call the special committee together. We have both sides of the House and the Senate present, and the Special Committee on Education and Hess Committee on the Senate side, Hess Committee House on the House side, and we have most of our members present from the Education Committee, Senator Higgins and Senator Olson and myself.
Me, Higgins, right here.
On the Special Committee. And I think, Peggy, you want to introduce your Hess members?
My committee members that are present are Representative Roses, Representative Keller, Representative Fairclough, Representative Gardner, and myself, Wilson.
And from the Senate Hess, you have me as chair, and you also have Senator Thomas. Anybody else? I don't see you if you're here. I want to thank everybody for coming. We're going to have a special report on civil education. The task force members are here, and they want to give you a presentation. We have three people present with us today. They are Diane Keller, and Jonathan Kastner, and Vicki Oddie. And I think it's going to be Diane that's going to be the first presenter, and she will present to you the next one. I see that they have overheads, and I know we can't see it, but probably move to the side so that we might be able to see the presentation also. If there's nothing else to come before us, I'll turn it over to the task force. And I guess I should make recognition also that we do have the director from the School Board Association, Carl, is present. He said he's not presenting, but this is an interest of his, and he's present with us. You want to take over now? Oh, we can see here. Oh, we never been up if we didn't know that. Okay, thanks.
And, Representative Seaton is just joining us from the House.
Yes.
And
Senator Elton also has joined for the Senate. So we have almost a full House here. And Senator Stevens can't be here because he's out of town.
Is that my cue?
Yes, I see hands.
Madam Chair, I just wanted for the record to say that Vicki, Ms. Oddie, is actually a teacher at Greening Middle School in my hometown, Eagle River, and so I just wanted to acknowledge that and say that I had the opportunity, I sent her an email as such, to go into her classroom and talk civics of a sort to her class from early morning until afternoon, and would be here and on the record to say that truly the first period at 7 a.m., 7:30 is not as awake as those that are entering the next class number two, period number two.
Any other comments? Yes?
I just want to say that this is my mayor,
Keller.
Diane Keller.
Yes.
We're not related, or some people have said we don't have relations.
I was wondering.
but we're good friends, and I'm very proud of this. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's get started.
Are you ready?
Yes, we are.
Well, thank you, and good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name, as stated, is Diane Keller, and we would like to thank you for the opportunity to serve on the Citizens Advisory Task Force on Civic Education. Again, my name is Diane Keller, and I'm the mayor for the city of Wasilla. Wasilla has a strong mayor form of government, which keeps me very busy because I'm the CEO for Wasilla. One aspect I take very seriously about my job is the opportunity to interact with children in our community and teach them about civic education and ask them what that means to them. I share with them that for more than 250 years, Americans have shared a vision of democracy in which all citizens understand, appreciate, and engage actively in civic and political life. In recent decades, however, increasing number of Americans have disengaged from civic and political institutions such as voluntary associations, religious congregations, community-based organizations, and political and electoral activities such as voting and being informed about public issues. Young people reflect these trends. They are less likely to vote and are less likely interested in political discussions and public issues than either their older counterparts or young people of past decades. As a result, many young Americans may not be prepared to participate fully in our democracy now and when they become adults. Recognizing that individuals do not automatically become free and responsible citizens, but must be educated for citizenship. Scholars, judges, teachers, civic leaders, local, state, and federal policymakers have, with the encouragement of the President of the United States, called for new strategies that can capitalize on young people's idealisms and their commitment to service and volunteerism while addressing the disengagement from political and civic institutions. One of the most promising approaches to increasing young people's informed engagement is school-based civic education. A few reasons why students are such an important venue, a few reasons why schools are such an important venue for civic education are: it is critical for the future health of our democracy that all young people, including those who are usually marginalized, be knowledgeable, engaged in their communities and in politics, and committed to the public good. Encouraging the development of civic skills and attitudes among young people has been an important goal of education and was the primary impetus for originally establishing public schools. Schools are best equipped to address the cognitive aspects of good citizenship, civic and political knowledge, and related skills such as critical thinking and deliberation. Schools are communities in which young people learn to interact, debate, and work together with others, an important foundation for future citizenship. I would like now to introduce two other members of the task force, Ms. Vicki Oddy, a social studies teacher at Greening Middle School in the Anchorage School District, and Mr. Jonathan Kacher, who is an attorney and the past president of the Alaska Bar Association. They will each provide testimony, and afterwards I will be providing closing comments, and we would be happy to answer any questions the task force or that the committee may have. Thank you.
Ms. Just Oddy? Before you get started, I also like to recognize Senator Tyson, who's not joining us.
Thank you.
I'll repeat again for the record. My name is Vicki Oddy, and I teach American History and Civics to eighth graders at Greening Middle School in Eagle River. I believe that I was invited to be on this Alaska Education Task Force as the token teacher. Last Friday, the February 15th at 11 o'clock, at the federal courthouse on 7th Avenue in Anchorage, along with 58 other people from 13 countries, I was sworn in as a brand new American citizen. My husband attended, my children attended, a few friends, and a few of my former students who are now in high school also came to see me be sworn in. And I registered to vote directly afterwards. I was born in Calgary, Canada, and in order to become a citizen of this great nation, I had to fill out many forms. I had to pay a $200 fee. I had to reveal personal information about myself, present legal documents. I had to be fingerprinted, and my character was investigated by the FBI. I had to take a test on American history and on American government. I had to have a personal interview where my ability to speak and read and write in English was tested. I had to surrender all of my foreign travel documents and passports, and I had to renounce princes, sovereignties, and potentates. At the time, I didn't know what a potentate was, but I renounced it. Finally, I pledged an oath to defend, even to the bearing of arms, the Constitution of the United States. As you can imagine, my students have been following me through this process, and we have had extensive discussions about the requirements for citizenship. And I asked them, well, what did they do to become citizens? And their answer, nothing. And I said, rack your brains and try to give me an example of something in our daily lives that is not either directly or indirectly affected by our local, state, or federal government. And I offer a dollar incentive to anybody who can give me an answer. But they never come up with a satisfactory answer because there isn't one. And I always keep the dollar. So it's pretty safe. Because the understanding of the privilege of citizenship and the role of government is so important, I made them take the same test that I had to take, using the study guide provided to me by U.S. Customs and Immigration. And for the most part, they did very poorly. But I want to assure you that by the end of this school year, Mrs. Audie's students will understand the value and the responsibility of citizenship. I do not take civic education lightly. My son serves in the United States Air Force. My husband works for the Justice Department. I am a brand new American citizen, and that citizenship is precious to me. Kofi Annan said, "No one is born a good citizen, and no countries are born democracies, but rather both are processes that evolve and continue to evolve over a lifetime, and young people must be included from birth." Thank you.
And now I'd like to turn it over to Mr. Kacher.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committees. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. Just like it was an honor and a privilege to be a member of this Citizens Advisory Task Force with a very esteemed group of people from the school districts, from the university, from First Alaskans Institute, and actually my favorite member of the committee was a 17-year-old student from Diamond High School. And we have come together and prepared what I think is an outstanding report with some excellent recommendations that we hope that you folks will take a hard look at and ultimately be in a position to act upon. We recognize that at this juncture in the budget cycle, we're a little late in the game for this year, but we hope to be in a position to come back next year and see if our recommendations can be followed up on. I have a little story to tell, although it's not anywhere near as dramatic or compelling as Ms. Adi's story. And my story involves my teenage daughter, who when she was an eighth grade student, her middle school social studies teacher asked her class to write some essays. Well, the next thing I knew, her essay was actually part of an endeavor put on by the Veterans of Foreign Wars. These are essays about citizenship. And so, lo and behold, she won the Spinard branch of the VFW award for her essay. And then she won the state award, and then she came in fourth in the United States of America for her essay. So, needless to say, we are very, very proud of her. But the point of telling you this story is that I don't believe that in this state, most social studies teachers don't know anything about this program. Most social studies teachers don't know that they could have their students participate in this program and potentially reap the rewards that my daughter was very fortunate to have reaped. And so not only are the students of those social studies teachers potentially not benefiting from these programs, but the VFW is not getting the maximum benefit of its program that is a very valuable service that it provides to the community as a whole. So part of what we're trying to recommend and put forward is the idea of coordinating these various programs that VFW has, that various civics organizations, that the youth courts, that the court systems, that the Rotary, and that various programs around this state have to promote civic understanding and education, not only for the students that participate in those programs, but for the adults who are promoting those programs. Because if an adult is promoting a program that's being underutilized, it's less likely that that adult is going to come back the next year and put in the energy for something like Boys State or Girls State to pull something like that off. My understanding is that Vicky and both the governor were stars of Boys State and Girls State in their day, and we want to, that Diane and the lieutenant governor, or the governor, were in their day. And we want to...
Not me. I go and participate.
You participate.
As an elected official, I participate.
But the governor was a participant.
The governor did participate, I believe, as younger.
And these are the very kinds of programs that we think, it's not just teaching kids more civics education in the classroom. We think it's also having these statewide opportunities that are presented through Native corporations, are presented through community groups, are presented through churches, are presented through political parties, that will promote and encourage students and young people and adults to be active participants in this civilization. Because it takes more than the 60 people in this building. It takes more than people who happen to sit on assemblies or school boards, who happen to be members of the Board of Governors or the Bar Associations or the courts. It takes all of us to participate. And I think we would all agree that the present level of participation is not as strong as we would like to have for purposes of a society. So my job is to tell you what we want. We have made a number of recommendations, which you will find in this report, and essentially they come down to we see that we need a coordinating effort, both through the Department of Education and what we have recommended through the Lieutenant Governor's Office, to coordinate all these programs around the state. We also would like to see the development of standards for civics education. We would like to see curriculum, assistance with local school districts in the development of curriculum, and then we would also like to see the development of professional development programs to enhance and promote civic education teachers around the state to do these programs. So I'm going to get to the more what we think is the most compelling part, the most necessary part, and that is coordination. And you'll see up on the board, we have this graphic. It's also one of the centerpieces of your reports there that you have copies of. And essentially what we're talking about is an Alaska Council on Civic Learning and Coordinator for Civic Learning. And this particular body would be through the Lieutenant Governor's Office, and this body would work through another person, the Coordinator for Civic Learning in the Department of Education, to bring all of these various organizations in the government and outside of the government throughout the state of Alaska to come together and maximize and facilitate and spread the word about these various programs that we think would very much promote and enhance civic education in this state. Again, we are a little tardy for purposes of this budget cycle, but we see this as something that we'd like to be able to come back next fall at the appropriate juncture of the budget cycle and have some time to develop our constituencies further so that we can perhaps persuade you folks that this is a worthwhile endeavor to be funding. So, with that in mind, I'm going to close with the following. This is a very exciting year in American political life. This is, I can't remember really since 1968, when friends of mine went off to New Hampshire to work in the New Hampshire primary when they were in high school. This is just an amazing time that we're seeing where people had to back up on DeBar Road for 5 miles to try and get to the Democratic caucus, where the caucuses in the Republican Party were better attended than at any time in the history of the state, where you see that people around the United States are very motivated and excited about their political candidates. At the same time, we have corruption and other things going on that could lend people to a degree of cynicism that would be very much undermining. And so, what we are confronted with, are we going to allow the cynicism to carry forward and allow this history of people not being involved to carry forward? Are we going to take advantage of and maximize and capitalize this present hope, this present political motivation that's happening in the United States of America right now? And we think that these recommendations that we are putting forth, that we'd like to have your permission to continue working on, will be for purposes of hope and for purposes of improving civic life in the United States of America. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Are there any questions from members or comments that you'd like to make?
I have a concluding statement, if I could do that.
Yes.
In conclusion and closing, I would like to remind us that none of us go backward in age. We go forward in age, and those that we're bringing up will be filling our shoes, and we want to have good citizens when we get older and need them to take care of our needs. So it's extremely important. We think that it's not just schools and not just the community, but they need to come together, and education begins at a very young age for civics. It's not something that should be mandated to graduate from high school the last year as a senior. It's something that should start very young through the family and then be reinforced through the schools. I'd like to add that Mr. John Dewey stated that democracy needs to be reborn in each generation, and education is its midwife. When we fail to educate our children about history and our representative democracy, we miss an opportunity to enrich our children's lives. We also miss an opportunity to enrich our country through their involvement. Our responsibility is to teach our children the American story. We must instill in our young people a deep and abiding understanding and appreciation of our heritage. Alaskan educators, students, and community members place a high value on meaningful civic learning in our schools, yet research, both statewide and nationally, shows a steady decline in the attention paid to advancing civic learning opportunities. As the research from the final report of the Alaska Civics Learning Assessment Project indicates, the state of civics knowledge and awareness among Alaskans is not what it should be. Young Alaskans will not learn the privileges and responsibilities of citizenship unless we teach them. We hope that through the research and recommendations included in this report, that we can help elevate the importance of educating for citizenship in Alaska and ensure that our young people have what they need to commit to a lifelong civic engagement. The strength of our democracy and the health of our community demands no less. I would like to close with a quote to ponder from Thomas Jefferson. The qualifications for self-government are not innate. They are the results of habit and long training. Madam Chair, now we'd like to thank you and the members of the committee. And again, we want to thank you for your support of HCR 6, which provided us the opportunity to serve on the Citizens Advisory Task Force on Civics Education, and especially for the time to present our recommendations to you today. And now we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Before I take a question, I just want to say that we also thank you for coming and presenting, and you were very passionate about it, and I think you're quite sincere in your passion. And I hope that we'll be able to do something with this program next year. I know that Carl Rose is here, and he said he wasn't on the agenda, but I know this is something that's very important to him, and I want to give him an opportunity to say something before we take questions, if he'd like.
Madam Chairman, I think they did a great job, and I'm going to yield the time for questions.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any questions from the members?
Thank you.
Madam Chair, you have your hand up.
I do have one. Thank you. How long have you been working on this? When did you get organized, and how long has it been up to now?
Our first meeting was last fall.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. September.
And we met, I believe we met four times face-to-face in Anchorage. We did a lot of emailing back and forth. It was a really excellent opportunity. It was a lot of fun. I really do thank you guys for this opportunity.
Yes, Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The University of Alaska, I think it was 2 years ago, had a roundtable discussion about civic engagement, and of course the themes were very similar. Were all of you participants in that, or did you know about it at the time?
I was not, no.
So there's more than one movement in the same direction. Mm-hmm.
I think that Representative Gardner through the chair. That's how I say it? Okay. I think that what you're saying is a symptom of one of the problems that shows that we need an overall umbrella over this, because over here there's people that are working on civics, and over there there's people that are having a roundtable, and here there's a committee, and there's an activity, and these people don't even know about each other. We didn't know about the roundtable that you just said, that are full of people that feel passionately about citizenship and civic education as we do. And that's why we're saying we need an overall umbrella, somebody to help us coordinate these wonderful activities and spread around
the opportunities to other people.
Any other questions? And I want to say to the members before we disband, I think most of you probably have this, and if there's anybody that didn't get it, we'll make sure that a copy is sent to your office if you give us the name of anybody that needs it. Report to you. Did I see your hand over there?
So when you're ready, I have another question, Madam Chair.
Oh, all right.
If there aren't any other questions from other people, from Ms. Zadi, when you had your swearing-in celebration, were you serenaded by the Alaska Sound Celebration Chorus?
We had the Sweet Adelaides.
That's right.
Yes, yes, they were wonderful.
31 years, they've never missed a swearing-in celebration.
Really?
At the federal courthouse.
I tell you, it was amazing. I would suggest anybody, because this 58 people from 13 countries at ours, and we each had a turn to go up to the mic, say where we're from, and say something, anything that we wanted to, about the opportunity to become a citizen. My niece was sworn in San Diego, 3,000 people. She said it was like a cattle line. They were just herded through. And so I suggest if you ever have a chance to go to see the ones in Anchorage, it was wonderful, it was special, I'll never forget it. So. They don't have the Sweet Adelaides serenade them down.
And I would like to add, it is a very moving ceremony because my priest, I'm Catholic, and he recently became an American citizen. And a lot of us from the church went into Anchorage. There's so many happening right now. They had a special one at the BP Center because they just couldn't fit them all in. And we didn't even get to have a federal judge for his ceremony. There was somebody from a staff that did the job. But it was, I cried, and he's not related to me, but it was so moving and so great. I would really encourage anybody to attend that ceremony if you ever have the opportunity to.
You see, people are leaving because they have other commitments for committees. Because we are on a 90-day session, you know, we're doing double duty and triple duty, so not because we're not enjoying the conversation, but if there's no other questions to come before us, we will adjourn so people may go to their other meetings.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay.